having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Lost coins. Lost coins. It's a terrible feeling to lose something that's necessary, isn't it? You go to the car, or you get out of the car, and you put your hands in your pockets to make sure your keys are there, and you realize they're not, so you go to open the door and realize, uh-oh. So you go and peek through the window like I have a few times and see them sitting in the ignition. Yeah, it's terrible to lose something that's precious, something that's necessary. We've all done it. We've all lost something. You go running through the house. You go to find your keys to leave, and then all of a sudden, you go running to the house and realize where you usually left them, they're not there. Most of the times when I was living home and my mom didn't have my wife and they can't find their keys, usually all you got to do is go to the bottom of the purse. They're usually there. Amen. But sometimes they're not even there. And so you wonder, where in the world am I? It's a terrible feeling whenever something is so precious is lost and you don't know where it's at. A few weeks ago, amen, I went looking for my cell phone one morning. And come to the realization that my cell phone was lost. So I thought, well, I'll just call it and find out where it's at. Well, it'd been a couple of days since I had it. And my phone was dead. And so I couldn't. So I had to make out a police report just in case somebody got a hold of my phone. Went through all that mess and had to get a new one. So it was a terrible feeling. I mean, it was that anxiety of looking all through the house, looking underneath every pillow, looking underneath every couch cushion, looking everywhere you could to see if you could find that which was lost. But it's even more terrible when you lose something spiritually. When something that is so precious and so necessary as the things of God, amen, when we lose something else, oh, the feeling, oh, the anxiety, oh, the terrible loss it is whenever we lose something that is so precious. We know that these coins to this lady in this text that I read to you, these coins were very precious to her. You can tell by her reaction. If they hadn't been precious to her, amen, she wouldn't have went through all the trouble that she did to find them. Amen, but these coins were precious. She only had 10 of them, and she lost one of them. That's 10%. Amen. She lost a good deal of what she had. Amen. From the text, I don't know. It's just my imagination. But I don't believe that this lady was a very wealthy lady. She only had 10 pieces of silver. Amen. She was clinging on to all those with all that she could. Amen. But when that one lost coin, amen, fast, she couldn't find it anymore. Amen. She got into a frenzy looking for it. Amen. We have precious things that we are losing in our midst. Did you know that? There is people and there is individuals where the Word of God is a lost coin to them. Did you know that? Amen. Did you know the Word of God? It is the Word of God, the Bible. It's God's Word. It's God's roadmap for mankind to find their way to a better place than what we're living right now. This is God's instruction book. Amen. Many times us guys, when we go to put something together, we throw the instructions by the wayside and then we find some missing or some extra screws and bolts and stuff when we get done. Friend, I want you to know something. When it comes to serving God, we can't have that mentality. We must take the instruction book of God's Word and go down and study and read it and find how we should live and how we should act and how we should go about our daily business. It's all there in God's Word. Amen. It's inspired. This is not just an ordinary book. It shouldn't be treated like an ordinary book. Amen. It shouldn't just be thrown by the wayside and picked up anytime we jolly well want to. This is God's book. It's inspired. Amen. It's the very God moved on holy men of old to write these things. Amen. That are in this book. It's inspired and it's infallible. Amen. There's no mistakes. You can search cover to cover. Amen. But God was very thorough and God was very comprehensive. You won't find mistakes and fallacies in this Bible because it's a book of truth. Amen. The Word of God has become lost in some places.
It's been discarded and thrown by the wayside. People don't see a need to live up to the guidelines and the standards of this book. That's another lost coin, especially in 2000. Amen. There's a lot of folks that have thrown the holiness standard of God's Word by the wayside and no longer see a need, amen, to live up to what God said to live. Amen. They don't see a need to live it. They don't feel like it's necessary enough to live it. Preachers don't feel like it's necessary enough to preach it. Amen. Sunday school teachers don't see it necessary to teach it. But friend, I want you to know something. If we lose the coin, amen, of our holiness standard, if we lose the coin of the Word of God, we have lost something that is very precious. Amen. This Pentecostal experience is a lost coin in many places that I've been. Amen. You see, the Pentecostal experience is one that gives us power over sin. Amen. It brings demonstrations into service. Amen. I like that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It's kind of my theme. This is kind of what I try to live by. Where Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. Amen. And that's the way I feel about my preaching. Amen. In my preaching, you won't find enticing words of man's wisdom. But oh, if we could have a demonstration of the Pentecostal power, if we could have a demonstration. Amen. That's what the Pentecostal experience is. You go to this church, amen, thank God for the demonstrations that we have in the Pentecostal highway of holiness. But some places I've been, it's not that way, friend. Why? Because Pentecost, the Holy Ghost, has become a lost coin in many places. Amen. It sets us apart. Amen. This Holy Ghost experience sets us apart from other denominations. Amen. This Holy Ghost move that we feel many times, it sets us apart from the most other nominal churches. Amen. We're more interested in their program and their agenda than they are the agenda of heaven. Friend, I'm glad for the Pentecostal experience. But if we're not careful, amen, and if we just take for granted that which we have, it won't be very long until we lose that precious coin. Amen. You see, the problem is, amen, I think, amen, I'm preaching this just the way I preach it, all right? Amen. When you get a chance to preach, you can preach the way you want to. Amen. I think this coins, the reason why they were lost was because they became familiar to this lady. Amen. You know what they say, now I can't say this word very good, but familiarity breeds contentment. Amen. When you get so familiar with something and it just becomes commonplace with you, it's not very long that it loses that luster. It loses that preciousness. It loses that once where it had, it caught your attention. It was the most precious thing and you held to it. Amen. And once you get so familiar with something, it's not very long until you take it for granted and you set it by the wayside, and that's whenever it becomes lost. Amen. What does the Bible say in Luke chapter 2? Amen. Mary and Joseph was on their way back from Jerusalem. And the Bible says, just supposing Christ to have been in the company with him, amen, they went a day's journey. Amen. They didn't realize. They just thought. They just assumed that he was there with them. Why? They just took it for granted that Jesus was there. But friend, whenever we just take for granted the things of God and they lose their preciousness to us, that's whenever we are in danger of losing them. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Why does the Word of God no longer seem important to us? Because we've taken it for granted. There are some places that I preach in this countryside. Amen. There are some places that I preach in that they have heard the best preaching. I mean, this church is one of them. Amen. You have heard some of the greatest preaching that has ever been done on this planet. Amen. You have heard. And some places I go, now I don't think this is the case here. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. It may be in some individuals' lives, but I don't believe on the church as a whole. Amen. But there are some churches I've been to, they are so accustomed to great preaching that when you let some young punk like me come in and try to preach my little message, amen, it almost seems like that they're not even responsible. Why? Because they're so used to the Word of God. Amen. We have heard it ever since we was a child in Sunday school. We've heard it ever since we were just a little boys and girls. The most of us here have. We've heard the Sunday school lessons about Jonah and the whale. We've heard the Sunday school lessons about David and Goliath and the Hebrew boys and the fire furnace and Daniel in the lion's den. We've heard the great truths of God's Word all throughout our life, until when we get to be older teenagers, or when we get to be young adults, or when we get to have our own family. We've heard this so often. Amen. And the Word of God has become so familiar to us. And we could quote scripture after scripture and scripture after scripture until whenever the pastor gets up and preaches and tells us how we ought to live and how we ought to go and how we ought to do, it's almost like we're beating you over the head with it. I've heard that before, preacher. And when you're not telling me nothing, I don't already know. But friend, I want you to know something. You'll never get smart enough in this thing, amen, not to hear good preaching. You'll never know enough of the Bible not to be able to come in and sit down in a service and hear the man of God expound from the scriptures. You need to hear good preaching. Amen. You need to hear doctrine. You need to hear the things of God declared. Amen. We need the Word of God. But when they become so familiar that when the preacher gets up to preach us, we can go on our way through a service, amen, and never hear a word that that man says. Friend, we are in danger of losing something very precious to us whenever we think we can go and interpret the Bible any jolly well the way we want to, amen, and not live by what God said. Friend, we are in danger of losing something very precious. Man, holding the standards is so familiar that some of us, if we wanted to, could sit down at a table and write out the holiness bylaws. Amen. We could write them down one by one and say, you ought to do this. And it's become so familiar to us. Amen. And Brother Collins has preached it so much to us. And Dennis Heath has preached it so much to us. And some of these other preachers that come through have preached it so much to us. Amen. That no longer is it. I mean, we hear it so much and we hear it so much. That, amen. The quote is, amen. Oh, Brother Collins, he's just an old fogey. Amen. That's just the old way. That's the old-fashioned way. Friend, if that's the old-fashioned way, and if that's being an old fogey, living a holy life and being separated from this world, then you can write it down. Dennis Heath is a old fogey himself. Amen. I believe that's the way God wrote it down in His Holy Scripture. I believe that's the way we need to live. Amen. Whenever we no longer see a need to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. When we no longer see a need, amen, to live a holy, sanctified life. Whenever we no longer need to see a need, amen, to watch the things that we say and watch the places we go and the things we do, we are in danger of losing something that's very precious. Amen. I've been in some of these worldly meetings. Amen. I've been in some worldly atmospheres and seen some men in some of their meetings. I've been in one of the big denominations pastors fellowship meeting down in Florida one time. And friend, I appreciate what I did feel, and I appreciate the Word of God that I did hear, but there were so many things that was left unsaid. Amen. And there wasn't a free move of the Spirit of God like there is at the highway of holiness. Why? Because they didn't see a need to live a separated life. Amen. They didn't see a need to set out to God and give God their best and give God their all. Friend, I want you to know something. When we throw aside and we get so familiar with holiness and the things of God, we are in danger of losing one of the most precious things that God has given to the church. Well, praise the Lord. It's Wednesday night. Oh God. Amen. When Pentecost gets so familiar, when the move of the Spirit can get so familiar that when folks are getting blessed and folks are getting helped, and God's moving around the front of this church, and folks can sit all through the back of the church and yawn and chew gum and pass notes and never pay attention and never show any interest in what's going on in the altar. Friend, we have come too familiar with the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. We've had so many good services around here at the highway that I can't even number them all. I can't even think about them all, because we have had some unbelievable services here at the highway of holiness for all you in the Tate ministry. Amen. If you can get a chance to come by to Hamilton, Ohio, you might as well do it, because the Spirit of God's been moving here. But friend, when we can become so familiar that now there's only a few of us, and some that were shouting a few weeks ago, amen, they're watching the clock and watching their watches, and as soon as it hits 9 o'clock or as soon as it hits 9:30, they're out the door. Why? Because it's become so familiar with it. Now, I understand there's some folks that has to go to work and have to leave at a specific time. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. I appreciate them coming to the house of God. But whenever you get so familiar, amen, with this thing, that no longer does the moving of the Spirit of God interest you in a service, friend, you have become too familiar, amen, with the Spirit of God. When the fire is so familiar that you no longer see a need to warm yourself by it, you are in danger. You hearing me? Amen. You are in danger. Amen. Whenever this power of God doesn't interest you anymore, Amen. You are in danger of losing that which you so desperately need. You say, well, I don't need the Spirit of God. Friend, you are deceived. We cannot make it without the Spirit of God. Well, I get tired of all the emotion, all the shout, and all the... Friend, I tell you what, I've been through enough dry services and enough dead services, and whenever one of them does come along, I enjoy them. Amen. Amen. I've been preaching enough places, amen, whenever the Spirit of God wasn't welcome and where He wasn't moving, that whenever I get in an atmosphere, amen, where He is at, amen, I want to enjoy it to the most that I can. Amen. You, some of the folks here at the highway, amen, you don't understand what you've got here. Amen. You take a trip outside of these four walls and go into some of the other churches that are half backslid across the country, and you can't feel God in there and within 100 miles of a place, but then you come back to here and the Spirit of God's moving, but yet there's people that sit on a pew, amen, and uninterested in the movement of the Holy Ghost, son. That'll stir you up a little bit. Friend, we need to recognize that when He visits us, when He chooses to visit, amen, the church of the living God, amen, that's the time we need to step out and say, Lord, any way you fix it, that's good enough for me. I want to be close to where You're at. You have taken it for granted. Oh, God. It's almost as if we've gotten case hardened. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Amen. We have become so familiar. When you become familiar and take for granted, that's when you become careless. That's whenever you become careless. Oh, God. The boys are getting ready to leave on a ship. The man of God had been praying. He said, I don't think we ought to leave. There's a storm coming. Oh, but look. The winds are blowing softly. It looks good to sail. That's just an old preacher. Amen. We've heard him say that before. We don't need to listen to him. You know what they did? They got careless. And what happened? Hey, amen. They got out on the sea. The Rockadon started blowing. And then they wished they would have listened to the preacher. Amen. They would have. Paul was there saying, I told you so, boys. Amen. Don't you hate it when somebody says, I told you so? Amen. But how many times as a preacher of the gospel have we stood up and warned the crowd and say, you better heed the steps that you're taking. You better watch the way that you're going. You better be careful the way you're going. You're heading into stormy waters and you don't even realize it. But they become careless. Why? Because Brother Collins is just Brother Collins. Because the preacher is just the preacher. Because the Bible is just the Bible. Because the fire is just a fire. And we get careless and we go out into an instruction of our own soul. We do not heed the preaching of the Word of God. We do not heed the Word of God. Even though God would come by in a message in terms of interpretation and warn us of the way that we're going, we turn it aside and say, oh, amen, that's just that person. They're always giving off a message in tongues. That's just them. They're just always interpreting something. Friend, I want you to know, you better be careful, amen, not to take for granted the things of God. You need to be careful that you don't take for granted, amen, the moving of God's Word. You better be careful that you don't take for granted the pastor that God has given us here at the highway. Lest we become careless and lose our soul. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's when you become careless while driving that you run the greatest risk of dying in an accident. When you're driving down the road, not obeying the warning signs, and you're careless, running out of control, that's when you run the greatest risk of dying in an accident. Can I say spiritually, oh God help me, Jesus. Can I say spiritually speaking tonight, that whenever you get careless with the things of God, when you feel like you can read a verse in the Bible and it's plain and clear what the Bible says, but you say, well, my interpretation, or Swindoll's interpretation, or some of these other smooth talkers' interpretation says it. Friend, what does the Bible really say? Amen. Don't become so careless. Don't follow a lie. Don't follow the deception of this world. Amen. What does the Bible say? The bread of deceit, amen, is sweetness to a man. But afterwards, it is like gravel in the mouth. Amen. Brother Brian Miller preached a message about that the other night in Granite City. Amen. Friend, you better be careful not to follow, amen, after some of these things when you get careless. Amen. It's whenever you become careless that you believe in a lie instead of the truth. It's whenever you become careless, young people, amen, that you'll put music in your radio, amen, that doesn't need to be there. Amen. It's when you become careless, amen, that you'll start trimming and snipping. Amen. It's when you become careless, amen, that you begin to do the things, amen, that you ought not to do. It's when you become careless that you'll find other places to be on Wednesday and Saturday night instead of the house of God. It's when you become careless you won't see a need to be in Sunday school on Sunday morning. Amen. It's when you become careless, amen, you'll take overtime instead of being at God's house. It's when you become careless, amen, that you'll allow things to get in your heart, amen, that supersedes your love for God and the things of God, and you'll lose your coin. Well, we're not shouting tonight, amen, but I feel like I'm preaching to you what I need to. Amen. It's whenever we become careless that we'll slip a movie into our VCR that we ought not have in the first place. Amen. And we'll watch garbage and filth of this world. Amen. It's when we become careless, amen, that we'll do things that we know we ought not to. It's when you become careless, sir. Amen. Whenever you get on the internet and nobody's watching what you're doing. Amen. You get on a site that you know you ought not to be. Amen. It's when you become careless, sister. Amen. Whenever you get on the internet and you get in a chat room and start talking to somebody like it's happened all across the country, and all of a sudden your eyes' attention are diverted from your love of your life and the love of your family, and you find yourself running off with somebody you've never met before. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. I can tell you instance after instance, amen, of Pentecostal holiness people that it's happened to just in the last few months. Friend, I'm telling you, it's when you become careless, amen, that you lose your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm feeling the Lord right now. Amen. It's when you become careless, young people. Amen. You get involved with a young lady or a young boy that you ought not to. It's when you become careless. You allow yourself to do things you said, I'll never do. It's when you become careless. Amen. That's whenever you find yourself in danger. It's when you become careless. Amen. You'll hoard your money instead of paying tithes like you ought to. Oh, hallelujah. It's when you become careless, you cease to give in the offerings to the man of God like you know you ought to. It's when you become careless. Oh, friend, amen, where else can I go for a little while? Amen, where else can I step here tonight? It's when you become careless, amen, you won't take the time in the day to kneel down beside your bed or at your couch and pray like you know you ought to. It's when you become careless, amen, that you'll say, oh, I can read the funnies instead of the Word of God. I can read the paper. I can read this magazine instead of being in God's Word print. Whenever you become careless, that's when you lose something that's precious. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. But what does the Bible say? She had to realize that she had lost something. It was probably in an hour when she needed it, when she realized she had lost it. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Mary and Joseph took no thought for Jesus until it come evening time and they was needing him. Amen. It was time to settle down and eat. It was time to settle down and rest. And then they couldn't find him. They'd went a whole day without him because they just supposed. That's when we realize how much we've lost. When we find ourselves in the midst of trouble and we find ourselves in the midst of trial and we turn and look and, oh, where did Jesus go? Where did the Son of God go? Where did my peace go? Where did my joy go? Where did my love go? Friend, we need to be careful. We must come to grips with the fact that we have lost something. The first step to a cure. When they tell an addict, what the first thing to tell an addict? You got to realize you're an addict first. Amen. To realize you have a problem, that's your first step to, amen, to being cured. Amen. Friend, I want you to know something. We must realize we have a problem. Amen. The problem with most folks, and I need to quit here. Amen. But the problem with most folks is that they are too prideful. They're too self-centered. Amen. To realize that they do have a problem. Are you talking to me, preacher? Well, you certainly can't be preaching to me because I'm one of the best members at the highway. Friend, I want you to know that's whenever we need to turn on a light. Amen. We need to shine a light. Amen. What was it the Bible said? She lit a candle. It's amazing, isn't it, ladies, when you're cleaning and you're looking for something that you've lost and you get a flashlight and you look behind a couch or you look underneath something. You say, boy, I did not realize all the dust and the dirt that collected there. Isn't it amazing what dirt you can find whenever you shine a light on something? Amen. In the mason, whenever the preacher gets to preaching, amen, he starts to shine the light of the Word of God into your life. You start realizing, I didn't realize that was there. I didn't realize I had a problem with gossip. I didn't realize I had a problem with worldliness. But friend, that's what the preaching of the Word of God is for. It's to shine the searchlight of heaven on your soul and make you realize you do have a problem. I know what the thought is. I can't believe he's preaching to me like that. You know what the problem is? I've probably shined a light right down your row. Amen. It's ruffled your flesh up. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. What you need? Amen. What you need is for God to turn his searchlight of heaven in this service tonight. Amen. What did he say to the churches? Amen. 5 out of 7 churches in Revelation, they were churches. He said, repent. Amen. I see your works and they're not perfect. Then why in the world don't you think that in the midst of this many people at the Pentecostal highways of holiness on Wednesday night, there may not be somebody that's in this service tonight that's harboring sin? We may not be able to see it, Brother Collins, but there may be somebody here, amen, that is on the verge of backsliding. Their eyes have been diverted to this world. Friend, that's why we need the Holy Ghost and the Word of God to turn on the spotlight tonight and make sure that there's nothing in the way. And then the Bible say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Yeah. And then she swept out the house. It's amazing to me how much trash a lot of so-called holiness folk have harbored up in their closets and in their living rooms and in their CD selection and in their bookshelves. Amen. We need so desperately for God to shine his light in this church to such a point. You know what I really think revival is? Here's my idea of revival. Amen. Whenever God gets a hold of some of the church people's heart to such an extent that they begin to clean out their houses. Amen. I heard of a revival where 70 were baptized and a lot of folks were getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. They was having a move of God. But you know what? So what else they was having? They was having brush fires. They was having bonfires. You know what they was burning? Amen. They was burning TVs and VCRs and CDs. They were burning golf clubs. They were burning short sleeve shirts. They was burning all kinds of stuff. It's just a sight what they was burning up. Amen. Some folks, whatever God was convicting them of, they was thrown away. You know what happened? Amen. It was a testimony of one of the people in the church. He said what happened in that revival was just a bunch of the church people got saved. Amen. Oh, God, give us revival to such an extent. Amen. That we'll be satisfied. Won't be satisfied with just a shout. We won't be satisfied with just a dance or a run in the sanctuary. But we'll pray and seek God's face until he brings revival to such an extent. Amen. That our church folks get saved again. That we have a good house cleaning. And we get rid of the world. You want to know how you keep revival and keep the Spirit of God in your life? Get rid of the world. She swept out the house. And then what does the Bible say? When she found it. Oh, hallelujah. When she found it, she called her friends together and said, let's rejoice, for I found that lost coin. Oh, what rejoicing there will be in the midst of God's people when folks begin to have house cleaning. Oh, the joy and the rejoicing and the praise and the worship that'll be in the house of God when folks can lift holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. Oh, friend, I want you to know something. I'm not trying to belittle what God's done in our midst in the last few weeks and months and years. I'm not trying to belittle that one. I appreciate what God's done. But friend, if we want to keep on with God, if we want to go on in victory and do great and mighty things for God, and we cannot allow some of these little petty things of this world to creep into our heart and creep into our home and snuff out what God's trying to do for us, I say tonight on Wednesday night, amen, let's find that lost coin. If you don't have the joy like you used to, amen, let's sweep the house and find a church till we find it. And what rejoicing there will be when we find it. You lost your hope. Oh God. You lost some things that are precious to you. I say tonight, amen. Holy Ghost, turn your spotlight down on this church house and search out the hearts of your people. Amen. Let's clean the house. Amen. And when we find it, we can have great rejoicing. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Stand to our feet. Father, hallelujah. I've done my best to preach this little message tonight. My intent, Lord, you know my heart. It was not to hurt. It was not to upset. But Lord, my intent was to preach what you laid on my heart. Amen. And stir your people until we get tired of the things we're messing with. We're going to get tired of the things we're doing. And we sell out to you. Amen. And we find that lost coin. In Jesus' holy name, would you come and find a place to pray around this altar tonight? Let's seek God for this main service. Ask the Lord to have His way. Amen. Ask the Lord. Lay yourself on the altar and say, here I am, Lord. A living sacrifice for your fire to consume in this service tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.